Dear Ted, here goes another tape. This one will be on helicopter operations. I have a series of 22 photos I took with my new camera on a helicopter operation that I went in on with the 22nd Division. This is the northernmost of the two corps' divisions. Picture number one is on the airfield at Khantoum in Khantoum province. It is a photo of Major John Plozet and myself. John was my S3 in Mainz in the 505th Airborne. He is a Division G3 advisor to the 22nd Division. Picture number two shows him giving me a rundown of how the operation is going to be scheduled. To John's right is the regimental commander of the Vietnamese unit. On his hat you see two silver buttons, or at least they look like buttons. This is his rank. One is a major, two for lieutenant colonel. To the left in the photo is a major. He is a senior advisor to the Vietnamese regimental commander that you see in the photo. In picture number three, we step down to the battalion, which is actually launching the helicopter assault. In the center of the photo is Captain Genovario. He was also in my outfit in the 505 in Mainz. To his left is a Vietnamese battalion commander. He is wearing a white towel around his neck for identification. This is very important. As they hit the ground, they want to be able to pick up our friendly troops, so when the armed choppers or fighter bombers come in, they'll know who's friendly and who's enemy. At least that's the name of the game, and we hope they'll know it. Of course, accidents do happen. For example, I had my battalion in World War II shot up by my own planes a couple of times, and in Korea we got a real pasting from some Navy bombers that came in one day. But those things can't be helped. The next photo is a picture of me taken with Captain Genovario. To our rear, you can see the battalion lined up along the airfield, waiting for the helicopters to come in. Here's another view from the flank of the battalion, and you can see some of the choppers starting in to come in on the airstrip. Photo number six is a view of the airfield with the choppers lined up. Both the Slicks, which are the unarmed transport ships, and the armed Hueys, or gunships. These gunships carry rockets and machine guns both. They are mounted on both sides of the helicopter and can be fired by the pilot or co-pilot. They have a sight which, as they move it within certain limits, will also cause the machine guns and rockets to track. The next photo shows the battalion moving out to load in the helicopter. Photo number eight is a close-up of them moving toward the helicopter. Number nine shows the chopper loaded. Note the co-pilot standing beside the front door and the gunner standing on the ground beside him. You can see the machine gun of the gunner leaning up against the chopper. Photo number 10 shows another close-up. You can see the machine gun against the side of the chopper again and how the Vietnamese are crammed into the chopper. Also gives a back view of the gunner. You notice the armored vest he's wearing. This is a nylon job and is pretty good at stopping bullets unless they're fired at you point blank. Number 11 is another shot of a loaded chopper ready to take off. 12 shows one of our fighter bombers taking off. This is one of the Navy ships that can really take a load. Take a look at all the bombs it's got under its wings. 13 is one of the real large choppers they move in each time they're having an assault operation like this. These choppers come into the marshalling area and are prepared to go on in case any of the choppers are shot down on the assault into the landing area. This ship moves in like a big crane and lifts them right out back to the airfield where they can be repaired. The next two photos cover an interesting incident that happened while we were getting ready to go on this operation. Just before the Vietnamese battalion started loading, a civilian C-47 came in and loaded at the field, or rather landed at the field. As it taxied down the field and went to turn at the end, you can imagine what confusion it caused when its wing clipped two choppers. Photo number 14 shows the damage to the tail of the second chopper and also the damage to the wing of the C-47. Photo number 14 gives another perspective of the accident. Well, Ted, this covers the preliminary phases of the heliborne operation. Photo number 16 shows the helicopter starting to take off in vis-a-vis heading for the objective area. Right after this photo, I jumped in my chopper and we headed directly for the objective area. The other people took a little time as the choppers took off, orbited over the field, and fell into their formations, getting ready to head into the assembly area. They form up in these V of Vs, and are prepared to come in to the assault area selected after the fighter bombers have come in and first bombed the area, then strafed it with rockets and machine gunned it thoroughly. This is to discourage any VC who might be surrounding the assault area, because you can well imagine these choppers coming flopping in and settling down on the ground could really be butchered if they hadn't knocked off the VC machine gunners who might be sitting around the area. One thing you have to worry about in this war is that there might be a tip-off on where your landing area is going to be. If that happens, they could move out there, get their machine guns in, and really ambush a force coming in. Of course, you read about this happening in the papers down in the Delta some of the time. Other times, they just use their common sense and surround areas which look like good landing areas. And by carefully surveying the ground, they can usually come up with an area that we'd select to land in. Because as you'll see from the later pictures, the mountainous area is really bad up here in the plateau. There are very few areas where you can go in and land, actually. Picture 17 is taken from my seat in the chopper. You notice the machine gun of the door gunner sticking out into the picture. We're flying at about 2,000 feet. As you notice, we're about the same level as these clouds. In the distance, you can see the mountains looming up. This is the area that we're heading toward. This is a photo taken out of the other door of the chopper. You notice the M14 sticking out in the door here. The usual armament in the chopper is one machine gun for one door gunner and an M14 for the others. However, if the guy is really eager, both door gunners may have M60s. Photo 19 is of the objective area. Notice the smoke from the bombs, which were dropped by the fighter bombers who came in to strafe and bomb the area just prior to the choppers coming in. Following the fighter bombers, the armed Hueys came in. This photo is rather dark, but you can see the splashes of the rockets hitting the hillside. These armed Hueys come in, fire their rockets and machine guns after the fighter bombers have been in. Photo 21 is of the landing zone. The helicopters have been in and dropped off the troops. Notice the radio operator, and right over his shoulder you can see a line of troops who are squatting down in the tall grass. This is the battalion's reserve. The main units have already started moving up those ridges that you see in the picture, trying to secure the top of the ridge so they can dominate the area. Now, photo 22 is also taken in the salt area on the same ridge. You will notice from left to right people that you have seen before. First, Captain Genovario, who is the battalion advisor. Next, you see the battalion commander, the little fellow with the white towel around his neck for identification. Next comes the regimental commander of the Vietnamese regiment, and then myself. Over our head, you see an area with some smoke and dust. There had been VC in this area that opened fire on the choppers when they came into the landing area. Then what happened, the command ship that was orbiting overhead got in contact with the fighter bombers and called in some strikes on them, and then called in the armed Hueys, who proceeded to beat the area up with rockets and machine guns. After we gave them this pasting, why, the firing died out and they didn't have any more trouble. Now, this battalion was lifted into the assault area. They are going on a 7-day operation from here. They will be supplied by airdrop or helicopter, depending on the terrain, one drop a day as they keep moving through this area. This area is very heavily dominated by VC. Unfortunately, the way things are in Vietnam now, we own the cities, the small towns where we manage to put troops, and the roads if we put a large enough unit on the road to clear it as we move along. This varies from area to area, of course. What this unit is going to do is drop into this area, hoping to surprise the VC. They will then start moving through the area, destroying rice fields, shacks, and any VC dumps, ammunition dumps, rice dumps, dumps of clothing, or other supplies they manage to stash away in the hills. They also hope, of course, to run into a VC outfit if they can and chop that up. However, the way things are in this guerrilla warfare, what happens when you move in with a large size unit like a battalion, the VC start moving out of your way. They'll keep up sniping, set up booby traps and things like that, but they most likely will not be able to mass the two or three battalions they feel necessary to attack this one battalion. So when you've got the initiative, the odds are all in your favor. The things we worry about are static positions where we have a battalion or a company in a small town. They sit there day after day and send out patrols around the surrounding countryside. The VC come in with their agents and very carefully survey the town, measure their targets, measure where the barracks are of the Vietnamese troops, and so forth. Then when the time comes, they mass a force of 3, 4 to 5 times as much as the unit they're going to hit. And they come boiling out of the ground sometime in the middle of the night and try and overrun the position with the first blow if they possibly can. Of course, you can imagine how things are. For several months, there have been very few contacts except a little sniping or running into a odd squad of VC here and there. Finally, lulled into security, the battalion lets its guard down a little, and whammo, there they come in. The first thing they know of the attack is a mortar barrage on top of their positions and some recoilless 57s fired directly into the windows of their billets and so forth. Following that comes the waves of VC. By the time the unit unscrambles itself, they've been overrun, had very heavy casualties, and the VC have seized many weapons and have faded back into the hillside. It's really quite a hell of a war, particularly since the initiative lies with the other side, and they can very carefully select the areas they want to strike. And once they have attacked, they fade away in the hills, put their weapons away, and become ordinary rice farmers again. Or if they're real hardcore units, they fade back in the jungles and break up into small units, and we just can't seem to be able to find them. Right now, we're fighting a hell of a fight up in the province of Binh Dinh. We're trying to keep the railroad open in this area, and it's quite a problem. The VC come down from the hills every night and send an armed squad or two into a village and turn out 400 or 500 people with their picks and shovels and force them out on the railroad and have them dig up great big sections of it, carry off the rail and so forth. Then in the morning, along comes the government security crew and they get the villagers, rout them out again and make them fill up the ditches and so forth. I really feel sorry for these poor farmers around here. The VC work them all night and the government works them all day. If they don't do what the VC tells them to do, they'll be shot by the VC. If they obey the VC, then they'll be shot by the government when they run across them carrying food for VC columns or some other things like this. The whole problem here is you can't tell your friends from your enemies. Say, incidentally, on this problem we have in the railroad, I would suggest you take a National Geographic magazine, I'm not sure whether it's August, September, or October, and read the article they have in there on the railroads in Vietnam. It gives a very good story of the troubles they're having keeping it open. Incidentally, notice how beautiful the land is along the sea there. It's out of this world. This place reminds me a lot of Ceylon. It's one of the most beautiful places in Southeast Asia. Much prettier than India, I feel. Well, Ted, I'm having a wonderful time here. Just wish I could convince Mother she should come out here. All she'd have to come would be a year.